Okay, so today is Friday, July 12th already, and this is the noon Eastern Time PSS call, and we're talking about choosing perspectives this week, but first we're going to check in and celebrate. So who wants to celebrate first? Rosie?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I haven't been on a call for a few weeks because the times haven't lined up, but yeah. I've been working very hard, and I think I've got lots to celebrate. Yeah, I think the biggest, there's no one thing. I think it's lots of things coming together, some serendipitously and some, you know, actively. But I think basically if I was to sum it up, a couple of things happened that really helped. One is we have a lot of, I've got a 16-year-old. Actually, she's just 17-year-old with ADHD and a learning disability and lots of emotional dysregulation and depression and anxiety. And I would say, and quite shut down, and I would say, I can't even tell you, I think the shifts that I've done from Impact ADHD have certainly helped, although it's been kind of a little bit insidious, but I would, you know what I mean, like over time, like, but I'm sure that they've helped. I mean, although, you know, that's kind of also slightly embarrassing because you feel like, but I was a great parent before. I would say the biggest shift has been we had a couple of things that came my way. So one is I ended up using a reward, but it worked. So we have real difficulty collaborating. And so, but she wanted to go see her boyfriend, which was 230 kilometers away. So I made a deal that for every minute that she chatted, that she'd get a kilometer towards.
And it really worked.
It really worked. And I was very careful on my part that most of the time when we chatted, it was about nothing. So that she could maybe change her perspective that mum is always stressful, right? And then I also planned more. I also, not that I don't plan my conversations, but I really thought I'm going to just try and tackle this little piece. Yeah, I was able to make quite a lot of inroad into what's happening with her sleep, which has been a problem for years, right? But I haven't been able to make, you know, whenever you ask her, it's like, I don't know. And that's as far as you get, right? And so I managed to make some inroads into what's happening. And then we managed to make some inroads into what do you want to do about it and which part do you want to take on first. And then managed to get some cooperation with, okay, would you be okay with this plan? And we need to stick at it for maybe 3 months. And so even though now I'm getting pushback, because we made the plan, I feel more confident about saying, yep, just take them, you know, rather than before I think we would have got into an argument.
That's wonderful. I think there's a ton to celebrate in that. That's wonderful.
There is a ton. And we've had, I would say, we definitely improved sleep.
Oh, good. What made the difference, just out of curiosity?
Well, I'd say the biggest difference, we bought her a weighted blanket.
Ah, yeah.
That completely surprised me. It made me feel terrible because I thought I should have done this years ago.
You wouldn't know.
I found a weighted blanket and we bought that for her birthday. And then the other one was, that's really helped. And then we've actually taken her off the meds for a while. And we have, I've got a cocktail that I'm putting into her at night, which is GABA and 5-HTP and L-theanine and magnesium and melatonin. And I don't know how much that is work. I don't know how much that's working yet, but we've definitely got improved. It's somewhat definitely improved sleep. And then that means just slightly, we're still very exhausted, but slightly less exhausted, right?
That's better. Yeah. I mean,
just trying to get the layers because there's so many layers.
Yeah. And I don't know if exhaustion. Yes, the kids are very complex.
Yeah, I don't know if the exhaustion is depression. Is it sleep? Is it, you know, is it something
else? Too. That's another layer altogether.
What did you say?
Having girls, being a female also is a whole other layer that you have to sort through.
Yeah.
With ADHD, wonderful. Julie, what do you want to celebrate? Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
Michelle, was it Michelle?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Michelle. Why did I say Julie? I'm so sorry. What the heck?
Well, that's okay. I was like, I didn't think there was a third person on here.
You're like, Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I haven't done that in a long time. Okay, I apologize.
Okay.
Why did I write down
no
June?
Worries.
Okay, celebrate. What do we want to celebrate?
I think I always feel bad because I don't have anything to celebrate that's like pertinent to the last time I was on a call, which has been actually a couple of times. But I did go back and listen. But one of the things, we've gotten a dog since we were, or puppy, I should say puppy, since we were on here last time.
Oh, yeah.
And my son has taken a really big initiative in making sure that he does his evening feedings and making sure that he has his water and, you know, does he need to go out? Mommy, he's sniffing. Does he need to go out? And so I think I'm just celebrating that he's kind of stepping out of himself, and he's always had kind of a fear of dogs. I don't really know why, but he's kind of had a fear of dogs. So to be able to kind of get over that a little bit and take some level of responsibility with it, I'm celebrating that.
Mm. I think that's huge. It's like there's so many things that are wrapped up in that, right? I mean, there's, you know, empathy and caring for another living being and taking responsibility. There's a lot there to celebrate. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so just so you know, you don't ever have to celebrate anything in relation to what we talked about last time or whatever time. You can always, I mean, there's always something to celebrate. It can be completely random. It can be, you know, just whatever. It doesn't necessarily have to do with a parenting success or a topic that we've touched on. It can be whatever. There's always something to celebrate, no matter how little. Excuse me. That is cool. And I'm going to celebrate, too, because we also have a new puppy. And now we have historically been horrible pet owners, not meaning that we are bad to our pets or anything, just that we just have not had a whole lot of luck with being successful with dogs. But this one has been awesome. And we've got my sister-in-law is coming to train, and I just am really excited because everyone's on board this time. So fingers crossed that this will be the puppy that stays with us.
Yeah, that makes
your new puppy's name. Yeah.
You know, and how, you know, everybody's on board. I mean, I don't know about you, but I tend to find that, and I think this is in my earnestness to kind of have everything go well, is often I'm the one on board, and I kind of persuade, cajole, and then suffer the consequences.
Yes, no, exactly. And I'm an adult with ADHD, as you guys know. So new and shiny is exciting to me, and I jump in with both feet maybe before everyone else is on board, too. So I know that about me. I completely agree. It's much more helpful when everyone is on board and participating. So, and that's actually kind of an excellent way to think about choosing perspectives, which is our topic for today. But before we dive into that, we're going to take aim real quick. So what would you guys like to take aim on? Remember, we're taking aim on the change that we want to see, or the challenge that's been top of mind, or maybe it's a challenge that just came up today, or something that you want to focus on for you or for your kid.
Yeah, okay. I have a challenge.
Go for it.
Michelle, are you okay if I go?
Yes, go right ahead.
I have a challenge. So we just learned last night that my daughter's basically one-on-one support that we've had for the last year is leaving.
Oh.
Yes, and it has taken, so just in a nutshell, I would say the schools here are really useless. And
tell me how you really feel.
really useless. And the support is really useless. And that's been my experience. Not enough of it. Not you don't get funding, right? You don't get funding for having ADHD. So,
right.
However, so what we've done is we're actually in an online school, which is extremely hard, right? Because online, probably these kids don't need online learning. What it does is it means that we do get some funding. So with that funding, we've been able to pay for basically 8 hours a week, which we really need. And now I've just lost that, and I'm just exhausted from trying, also exhausted from you know, this person was a lifeline, and my daughter liked her. She doesn't like many people. And she also, she was great. She was great, and she was great in many, many ways. She was great in makeup and boyfriends and, you know, all those things that I can't do right now because I'm not being given permission to do it, right? So I'm really challenged to think, I don't know where to go next. And I'm afraid of going back where we were, which was a very, very dark place.
Sure.
So, yeah, I'm so sorry. I guess what I'm taking aim on is, well, I was surprised yesterday because I didn't just go down. My tendency is to want to just go down into, you know, this is terrible, this is chaos. So I'm trying to look at it not as a challenge. Challenge doesn't work for me. But I'm trying to look at it as, okay, maybe this is an opportunity. It's going to take a while to find somebody. Hopefully there's somebody out there because we live in a small town. But I'm going to try and look at it as an opportunity to, you know, tweak some things and find somebody different.
Okay, good. I think that's a great attitude. So in terms of taking aim, then, do you want to focus on, I'm trying to think of how we can narrow it down. Do we want to talk about your daughter's reaction when she finds out? Do you want to talk about the process or the search for the new person?
I think what I want to focus on is, sorry, is there noise in the background?
There is a little bit. Let me see if I can isolate that. Oh, I see that Fitzpatrick's have joined us too.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Good, thanks. We are taking aim right now. Yeah. Rosie, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
That's a bit better. I think I want to take aim on the overwhelm. Because I need help framing it, though. So what can sometimes happen is, well, A, I'm overwhelmed, and then somehow that gets transmitted in terms of what I get caught a little bit in saying, well, do you want to work with this person or do you want to work with this person? Or I go and find someone and then she says no. And then I get caught in that process because, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a no-win.
Yeah.
So I want to somehow find a way to include her without it being overwhelming.
Okay. And it sounds like it's a little bit about self-management on your part as well, in terms of managing your emotions and not going down the rabbit hole. Gotcha. Okay, cool. We can absolutely work with that.
Okay.
Michelle, what are you thinking?
I think given summer, we've definitely gotten out of our routine. But I think the one consistent thing that is out of control or has no starting point is the nightly routine, sort of the getting to the shower. It's not so much like it's not so much the process of what needs to be done. It's just, you know, it's 7:30, you know, it's 8 o'clock, you know, because it's 7:30 during school. It's more like 8 o'clock now. Maybe even later, depending on the day.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Why are you sitting here doing nothing? You wear a watch on your wrist. And so I think I'm going to somehow take aim on beginning the nightly routine. But I guess I'm struggling with how that looks. Is it, I'm thinking there needs to be some sort of reminder or there needs to be some discussion about exactly what time, but that kind of varies. So I guess that's where I want to take aim, but I'm not sure how.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about it. Do you want him to begin the bedtime routine on his own? Do you want him, what do you want to be different about it?
I would love for him to take initiative. Like I was explaining earlier, it's 6 o'clock. It's time for the dog to be fed. You know, kind of that type of response, because I obviously see that he's capable of it. But
because he does it with the dog?
Yes.
Okay.
But I guess it's more, I guess probably the best starting point is just when it's time, just start moving in that direction. Don't, oh, I need to do, and oh, I need to do this, and I need to do that, and just kind of the procrastination techniques that tend to make my volume get a little higher and my frustration get a little higher. So I think we would just have a much, much more relaxed evening if that were the case.
Okay. And so typically you have to remind them several times to get going, and there's lots of delays along the way. And in a perfect world, you would only have to come in and say, let's get moving towards bed, or however you guys do it. And he would hop up and start that process. Okay.
Yeah.
So realistically, if we apply the 3 to 5 year age difference, how likely is that to happen?
He just turned 10. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'd like to say it's, I mean, 5 years? No, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
3 years, I'd like to think a 7-year-old. Could manage that. My 7-year-old does manage that.
Okay. With no reminders at all?
Oh, no, he needs reminders, you know, at least to start. Hey, it's such and such time. Let's get moving.
Okay. So will it be, I'm just wondering if it might be more realistic to start with shooting for maybe 2 or fewer reminders and then work backward from there. Yeah.
Okay.
And you brought up a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, he's able to do it when it comes to the dog, but not necessarily when it comes to bedtime. And I think that that's so typical of our kids, right? You know, sometimes it's almost heartbreaking when they actually get it right or they're able to do something, because then we have hope, you know, and we get excited and we're like, oh my gosh, they can do it. Now they can do it all the time and everywhere. And it almost never happens that way for some reason, you know, whatever thing it is that they're doing, and they're doing, you know, when they're asked to do it, is hitting that sweet spot in their ADHD-ness. You know, it's new, it's exciting, it's, you know, it's fun, it's scary, it's funny, it's whatever it is, it's engaging their brain. And that's why they're able to do it in that moment, or for that specific activity. And unfortunately, it doesn't typically extend to everything else yet. But it will, it'll get there. But it's great that you know that he's able to do it for some things, because that means at some point, hopefully sooner rather than later, he will be able to do it for other activities. That's great. Rachel, you want to take aim?
Sure. Not sure. I'm going to just talk about what the struggle has been, and then maybe you can help me find a way to take aim.
Okay.
So my son has been going to a sensory gym for the summer, and they have given him exercises to do. And, you know, it's been weighing on me kind of heavily. It's a really big effort to get him to this place. With traffic, it takes about 45 minutes to get there. If we're lucky, he gets the hour session, and then, you know, for at least 45 minutes to get home. So, you know, the exercises, I think, are valuable and really important. So it's been difficult. He's gone to camp the last couple weeks, and so he's kind of up and out early and kind of gets home at, like, 4 or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's been hard to kind of have routine around these exercises. The last two mornings were pretty good. I've been trying to – I know it needs to be part of the regular routine, which, of course, is off. Because of the summer, but I don't know what exactly I want to take. I want to take aim on, I guess, the consistency of, you know, it bringing him into. I know that it's going to involve a lot of me and my husband, and it's just been, it's, I, you know, it just has felt a little bit overwhelming dealing with this.
I'm wondering, part of me is wondering if you want permission to let it go. I guess that's kind of what I heard in your voice. But there's a reason that you're committed to following through with this, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's important. I don't want to let it go. I want to try to do it to the best of our ability, and I'm kind of in acceptance of it. There's no perfection here.
Right.
Because, you know, he was evaluated, and there's reasons why he gets OT. So this is sort of through the school. We just happen to have to take him to this private gym.
Okay.
So I feel like doing these exercises is going to be valuable going forward, you know, for what he struggles with. So I think they're important. I don't want to continue to – I want to have some serenity around, you know, like trying to get it in, but letting it go when we can't. And that's kind of where we're at right now, I guess.
Okay. So is it more about acceptance that it's not always going to be perfect and that it's not going to be routine, or is it about finding support and structure to make it routine? Or is it about
– I want to make it as routine as we can. That's my goal. As routine,
okay.
I want to give it a really good go.
Okay. And he's on board with it, your son?
Well, no. I mean, it's not something that, you know, I've talked to him about the reason for it. You know, it's going to help his brain, his coordination, everything, you know, and make everything easier from school to sports, you know. And maybe it means having that conversation again. But, no, I mean, it's not like
he doesn't want to do it. Yeah.
He's not off. He's not saying I will not do it. It's just, no, he's not.
It's not his favorite thing.
Being on board. He's a almost 11-year-old boy.
Yeah. No, I get it. But he's not negative about it. He's not like out and out, you know, stamping his foot saying.
They're pretty quick. Like
stupid.
There's other ones, you know, like there's other things that they want us to do, and that I'm kind of like reserved to, like, I'll do what I can.
Yeah. Good.
But these really basic ones, I feel like, you know, there's no reason other than we just haven't been so, like, I've tried to build it in, but it's just been hard to be consistent.
Okay, I got it. Cool. All right, thank you. So today we are talking about choosing perspective. And I love choosing perspective because it's great that there's always a different perspective that we may or may not be aware of. Sometimes we get to find out what the other perspective is, but not always. And sometimes it's just enough to know that someone else has a perspective that's different than our perspective. I do a lot of work with perspective choosing around when moms or dads perceive that other parents are judging them or other people are judging them. And so that's a whole separate section. But it's always interesting to me because 90% of the time, maybe 99% of the time, whatever we think someone else is thinking about us is not what they're thinking about us, because we're not that important, right? You know, they're probably thinking about what they have to do for the rest of the day, or thinking about the phone call that they had with the doctor or something else entirely. And we have assigned some sort of intent to their expression or their conversation that is not valid. And, you know, sometimes that happens with our kids too. You know, we may see them, and I mean, the classic examples, and you guys don't typically do this, the classic examples are, oh, my kid's unmotivated, or my kid is lazy. When in fact they have ADHD and they are either perfectionist or they just need some help getting started. And when you can make that perspective shift, you know, or if you can approach your child from a place of empathy, it makes everything a whole lot easier. You guys have probably had experiences with family members where they have made comments or suggestions or, you know, meaning to be helpful, not fully understanding your perspective or knowing a lot about how your child functions on their spectrum of ADHD. Hang on. And once you explain to them why you do things the way that you're doing things, their perspective shift helps them to be more confident and calm and is in a better place of understanding. So I was thinking about my mother-in-law most recently. She's in her 80s. And she still comes up and hangs out with my kids. And when she comes in town, I try to put things together that are relatively easy for her, right? So if she's going to take them to the putt-putt golf place, I may go there ahead of time and get a gift card or kind of figure out what the process is, you know, so that when she gets there, it's not too labor intensive. You know, they get there and she walks through and they get the clubs or whatever and go and have fun. Well, the last time she came in town and I did that, she got very upset with me. And she said, why do you do that? You know, we have money. I can get the golf clubs. I can buy them lunch. You don't have to go and do this every time. And it never even occurred to me that she would perceive it that way. I thought I was being helpful. I thought I was being supportive and trying to make things easier for her. And she saw that as an insult. And I mean, I was really thankful that she shared that with me because that never had occurred to me that she would perceive it that way. And just being able to understand how her brain worked in that moment and where she was coming from. And my husband and I have been married for over 20 years. And that was such a nice insight into where she was coming from. And it really made a lot of other things that had happened in the past really clear to me. And so anytime we can shift perspectives and see someone else's point of view, it's a huge help. So what are you guys thinking? What's coming up for you? Maybe it's a time when learning someone else's perspective helped you shift your perception. Or maybe it's a time where your child's perspective gave you a new insight. Go ahead and just jump in and share.
Well, this is Rosie. Well, I think for me, it's probably around wanting validation. I do get very mad, sad, bad, mm-hmm. when, particularly when I feel like my situation's minimized, you know, minimized by doctors or minimized by friends. Mm-hmm. Oh, but she'll be fine, whatever, right? And then it makes me want to, right? I feel like I want to catastrophize because it's like I need to justify, right?
Yeah.
And I need to convince them that. And so for me, I think it's about trying to let that go. And kind of trying to, you know, be okay with, you know what, they got a different perspective. Kind of, you know what, knowing that many parents of kids with challenges and many people who have challenges, other people don't always really get anybody else's challenges. It's hard for people to get, you know, whether you're living with MS or struggling with someone who's dying from cancer, you know, like it's really hard to actually get someone else's perspective of how they're living their life. So that's the attitude, that's the perspective I'm going to take to help me feel less need for vindication.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And that makes it a lot easier, right? Then you're nicer to the people that have the perspective that is not accurate, of course. And that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I was just thinking, you know, we have a surprise child. He turned 5 this week, which is awesome. But, you know, and anyone who has a child, you know, no matter what age they are, you know, that kid was probably 5 once. and you kind of remember what 5 was like or what 4 was like or what 3 was like. But, you know, there's a lot that we've forgotten. You know, and so even though people understand what it's like to have a kid with special needs or a kid that was 3, 4, or 5 years old, they don't really remember. You know, you've forgotten a lot more than you think you have. And so I think that's a great, great point that there's just not enough information retained, perhaps, to fully appreciate sometimes the gravity of the situation or the stress load of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, and I find that there's a Buddhist practice called Tonglen. I don't know if anybody's familiar with it. And I find that very helpful because basically it's like you start from yourself and then you go out and out and out until you get kind of basically into the whole world, but you're kind of thinking about, you know, all the people who are feeling whatever, you know, heartbroken because this has happened, right, in my family, all the people in my town, then all the people blah 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 blah, and you get bigger and bigger and then you realize there are many people who are also, like, that's what I love about this group, there are many people facing the same things I'm facing, and mm-hmm. I just feel better about that because I feel like, okay, you know, I'm journeying with lots of other people.
Mm-hmm. You are a part of, you're not separate from.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Rachel and Michelle, what's coming up for you guys?
This is Michelle.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Go ahead, Michelle. I heard you first. Sorry.
I think that the change of perspective for me happened when I went through sanity school. Because I was really struggling with attention deficit is a focusing issue. That's it. You put them on meds, mm-hmm. it's fixed, it's done. And so going through that changed my perspective on, from a lot of different avenues, you know, it, and I feel like I've in turn kind of, taught my husband, some things as well, you know, mm-hmm. But it was really kind of, this isn't just a focusing issue. It just involves so much more. It's so much more complex.
Yeah.
You know, when he's acting immature, you know, it was kind of natural for us to say, why don't you act like a 5-year-old or, you know, act like a, you know, and it, you know, that was a huge perspective change for me to be able to view things for him differently. It helped with, you know, homework. It helped with, you know, like the motivation, and it just helped all the way around. So that was, that was my perspective change. But I do still feel like in the school system, that at least in our school system, it has been the same perspective. It's just a focusing issue. And that's extremely frustrating. But that's, you know, that's another story for another time.
It can be a story for this time. But yeah, I remember when I learned about the 3 to 5 year delay for kids with ADHD, and that was huge. Such a huge shift in perspective for me to be able to look at my, you know, my 15-year-old and be like, oh yeah, you're behaving like my 10-year-old. and that made sense because that's where he was. Very, very powerful. Yeah. Go ahead, Rachel, you were gonna say something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like this has been happening a lot with my husband, you know, in a good way, similar to what you shared about with your mother-in-law. You know, we've been participating in counseling, and it's all been about perspective, and I've been able to sort of come out of my perspective and see where he's coming from. And recently, you know, he shared, well, you know, it seems like, you know, I don't want to be lectured, or I don't, you know, when you're telling me what you were telling me, it felt like you were lecturing me. And it didn't, you know, it was a sort of a similar experience where I was really glad that he said it, because I was like, oh, I didn't realize that you would think that. I was sort of, I was trying to be supportive, and point something out, I guess, but, that maybe I felt like I hadn't been heard before, you know, I said before, but hadn't been heard. And I didn't realize, that, it was coming across in that way. So once he said that, I kind of was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought about it more, and it made sense. Exactly what you said.
Huh.
So that's helping.
Now? Yeah.
What's that?
I said, well, how do you feel now? So when you think back to those times, or maybe it's not been enough time since you guys had that conversation, but has it made you more, aware in terms of your conversations with him, or checking for intent, or asking him to check for intent if he's wondering kind of where you're coming from or what you're getting at?
Yeah, I feel like that's happening more and more. There's more checking in on both of our parts, and more just saying how something is making us feel. And, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's not the most comfortable process, but it's really necessary and positive. You know, it's just, I'm just much more sensitive to, oh, okay. And, you know, what it told me was, you know what, I need to drop the frustration that I felt around that particular issue and just let it go.
Okay.
You know, but it's okay. I can do that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Shoot, I had a thought, but it's gone. Hopefully it'll come back. Oh, darn it. Gosh, in my memory, it was a good thought, too, but probably not. So, Rosie. Gosh. Oh, no, I remember him. Real quick. Just when we talk about, you know, choosing perspectives and assuming best intentions, we talked about that before too, and Because a lot of times we don't get to find out what the other person's perspective is. You know, I mean, for close to 15 years, I had no clue that my mother-in-law felt that way. And I always assumed negative intent, right? I never assumed that she was just, you know, that something else was going on. And how much more helpful is it to assume best intentions, knowing that there's another perspective that we may not ever be privy to? Isn't it much nicer to assume that there's something positive or something that has nothing to do with you at a minimum going on in that other person's head? And if you can't get there, or if you do have some insight, you know, we talked about this with like anger management and empathy. And it's, you know, finding a story that is also true, right? So finding a way to shift whatever you're telling yourself in your head to a story that's also true. So not, you know, you don't want to turn an argument into, you know, something about unicorns and rainbows, but, you know, is there something in there that at a minimum is neutral and at best helps you understand where the other person is coming from? So I just want to make sure I threw that out there. So Rosie, with respect to your daughter and finding a new person, what's a perspective that would be helpful for her and for you?
Well, a perspective for me is we're going to find something different rather than something worse. You know what I mean? My first thing is oh, no, we're not going to find – this is so much effort, and we're not going to find anybody like Morgan. Well, I think I need to let that go, and what will help me is to say, oh, we're going to find – a different Morgan.
Well, you're not going to find a different Morgan. You're going to find someone different completely, right?
Yeah, someone different completely. We're going to find someone different completely who will bring their own set of skills with them.
Yeah, I like that. And they may not be, you know, as good as Morgan in certain ways, and you may have to go through a couple before you get to the next not Morgan. And in some ways, that's a cool experience, too, because it provides clear insights into what kind of support your daughter needs and what kind of support you need, really, in order to be successful.
Yeah, and I think my challenge is that we've been in a place where I think she's very tired of kissing a lot of frogs. Well, just kissing lots of things, right? You know, so, you know, different pills, different therapists, different schools, different, you know what I mean? Like, she's just tired of the reminders, right? That, you know, so I think there's a sense here that things don't work out.
Oh, no.
So, so I'm that's my, you know, fear about how can I think what I can do about that, what I learned recently, is just continue to be calm, cool, and collected. You know,
because you see a difference with some things, right? I mean, if she's not able to necessarily evaluate or assess how successful a new treatment or a new pill or a new person is, there's definitely situations where you can tell if it makes a difference, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. And I think what I need to do is just not. I need to be aware that there's probably going to be backlash, right? Mm. And then just stay my ground, calm, cool, and collected. It's okay. We're going to figure this out. You know, so that I can hold it. Whereas I think sometimes because the backlash is so big, I go down with it. Maybe not literally, but you know what I mean. It leaks.
Yeah, you get flooded. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Do you guys ever have a conversation about perspectives or what might also be true? Sometimes it's, you know, helpful to model that, you know, whether it's something basic like you get, you know, cut off on the freeway and you say something like, oh, they must be on the way to the hospital, or, you know, make up a story that makes that person seem more sympathetic, just to kind of practice that role shift.
Yeah, with me or with her?
Either.
Right. Yep, definitely.
Okay.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, Michelle, with bedtime, what do you think your son's perspective might be?
Well, in my mind, his perspective is how can I drag this out as long as possible? But in reality, if I take a shift, it's probably more I'm on my way to the bathroom and, oh, there's my swim goggles that are not where they're supposed to be.
That's
where
great.
Are my flip-flops? And, oh, what are we having for breakfast tomorrow?
Right.
And, squirrel. So, like I said, I think it feels very intentional. And it's hard to keep my cool, but I do think if I can keep that shift in perspective, it could help. I mean, even last night, it was, I'm sorry, I'm going to share this really quick. It was 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was way past time to start, you know, bedtime routine. And he's like, oh, Brooks needs water. And we're like, no, now's not the time. and I said, I really appreciate that you're looking after Brooks and his needs. Now's not the time. My husband, on the other hand, said, I don't appreciate anything about it.
I still think it's awful cute. You know, and it's one of those things where you got to, like, balance, right, you know? I think that's awfully sweet. Yeah. So what would be, gosh, so when you shift the perspective, and yes, I mean, I'm sure it's more about just end of the day, you know, ADHD distractions, and there's, or maybe not even being tired or just not ready to go that direction. What would be a helpful action step?
I think, are you in terms of getting it started or in terms of, like, prodding him along?
Ooh, good question. I don't know. Which one resonates for you?
I do feel like he responds, although it doesn't last very long, he'll have a really good response to, oh, it's time for. So, you know, I think it's that novelty that wears off.
Mm-hmm.
If there was that, you know, that time that was set. I think that's going to be a challenge with summer. So maybe more setting a time frame around, okay, I said it's time for this, and we need to be done with our bathroom routine by this time. I think that might be able to help, or even just from the time I say until the time we actually get to the bathroom.
Gotcha.
Or get to the shower. I think I'm going to back that up a little bit.
I understand. So just out of curiosity, because some kids respond really well to timers, and some kids get really hyper-focused on the timer and get stressed out. Have timers worked for him the best in the past?
He does get hyper-focused on it, but it does work relatively well for him.
Okay. Cool.
So I guess where I'm saying he gets hyper focused on is he'll kind of, you know, focus on that. So the task at hand might not be as good as it could be. But the task gets done.
Gotcha. Okay. He argues about the accuracy of the clock. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's just,
okay,
you need to take a shower. Well, all of a sudden he's out of the shower in 2.3 seconds. And you're like, I don't really think that was a good shower.
Gotcha. I love that. I wish that one of my kids had that. We have the arguing about the accuracy of the clock and then the adding on for whatever seconds or minutes are perceived to be an inaccuracy.
Michelle, I wish my daughter would take 0.3 second showers because she has 45 minute showers and all I can think of is the environment and the hot water tank.
Oh, gosh. My Theo does too. My 15-year-old with autism, he does as well. What are you doing in there the whole time? He sits on the shower floor and just lets the warm water run all over him. It feels really good, I guess. Like, all right, whatever.
If given the chance, that would be his preference.
Isn't that fascinating? Whatever. I think that's just really interesting that's, I don't remember ever taking a shower that long.
No.
But they really enjoy it, which is really cool, I think. And it's interesting that they all kind of have a similar response to that. Okay. So you think giving him some time frames, basically, to work within is going to be helpful in getting him, you know, to move in the direction of bed within the first couple of reminders? Or do you want to narrow it down more than that?
No,
there's no right
answer.
I'm just curious.
I think that's probably limiting the reminders, providing a time structure, and limiting the reminders. Can I do two?
Sure.
Or is that too many? Okay.
No, you can do two. Just if it's just, you know, from only you know how your life works and from your own perspective, is that something that is likely to be successful if you're kind of implementing two at the same time?
I think I can do it. I'm not sure he'll be able to recognize one from the other.
Okay.
I think that may be a little confusing for him.
Okay.
I'm going to say the reminders.
Okay. And it may be that you just need to get do some more research, you know, kind of try them both out and see which one he responds better to, and then put your plan together.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good advice.
Well, I don't know about that. Just thinking out loud. Okay, Rachel, exercises. What do you think his perspective is? I think we touched on that a little bit already.
Well, his perspective is sort of just like, what's the point? And, you know, this is just one, I just want to go outside and have fun.
Mm-hmm. And realistically, is it likely that you're going to be able to shift that perspective to you know, help them fully appreciate the importance of the exercises or the cause and effect piece of it?
Yeah, no, I don't think that I'm going to, but maybe I wouldn't try to shift that perspective, but more like, you know, maybe make it a little bit more fun and sort of just lighter, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as something, you know, like, address it as, you know, there's lots of things I don't like to do, but once I do them, I feel good because I know I've done what I need to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
to help myself improve. So, you know, you're kind of young, but this is, you know, we'll just do it in little bits each day, you know. And he's coming around with his schoolwork that he has for assigned over the summer. So, he has so much play that, I feel like there's not a lot of that's required in the summer that, you know, we can sort of talk about. It's just a few things, and this is one of them, you know.
Okay. And so from a success standpoint, what does that look like if you were to make it more consistent? Is it every day for 7 days? Is it 5 days? How many days, in a week at a specific time do you feel comfortable with calling that consistent?
Okay, that's good. Well, this next week, it's challenging when he has to get up and out early because there's not a lot of time. But when he doesn't, like next week, I don't think we have anything planned in the morning. Then
uh-huh.
it's also challenging as well because there's not like really a built-in structure, and I work in the morning. But so I would say like maybe 3 days. This next week,
okay.
If you could do 3 days in a row, then that would be
3 days in a row.
A success. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome. And since there's nothing else from a structure standpoint really going on next week, that may be the structure that's helpful for him.
I'm thinking, you know, still in the morning, it's, you know, before he does anything else, like once he brushes his teeth and eats, then we, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of us, whether it's me or my husband, can kind of go through them with him.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. And if for some reason that doesn't happen, what would also be a success? Maybe three times total, not necessarily in a row?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. All right. Rosie, we didn't really get to an action step, did we?
Well, I think my I think my action step is to prepare before I present.
Okay.
So I'm going to be less impulsive, and I'm going to just educate, find out what's out there. I'm not responding right now. I'm just collecting information about what options are.
Okay. So you've got your detective hat on and you're just gathering data.
Yeah. And I'm going to let go of the worry of trying to get it all all my eggs in one basket and get them all tidied away right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yep. I'm going to just kind of try and give myself time to figure it out.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Do we need to put a limit on the time, or are you comfortable with being able to do what you need to do before you move on to the next step?
Well, that's a very good point, because I'm a bit of an analyzer, so I can go. I'll go looking for the best solution, right? You know that,
right? And that's a good thing. I mean, that's a talent not many people have. So go ahead.
Yes,
I think we honor that. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I don't know about that yet.
Okay.
I think for this week, I'm just going to start collecting. I'm going to give myself this week. I've got to think about it.
Okay.
I'll get my husband to help me because he's very good at corralling me.
Okay. You guys make a good team.
So my phone is about to die in case I lose you.
Okay. Have a good weekend if we lose you.
Yes, you too. Thank you, everybody. That was really fun.
All right, take care. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
We do have a couple minutes left, guys, so I don't want to, hang up on you early. but we can certainly stop here if you guys feel like you're in a place where you're good. But if something's still kind of floating around or bugging you, please jump in and let me know. Any ahas today? Here. Little, big, over moments.
Yeah, I had an aha, which I knew before, but it's really nice to get reminded, and I think it was Michelle or you said it, that just because they can do it once doesn't mean they can do it all the time and everywhere.
Yeah.
I think
it's
I assume that a lot, so that's a mm-hmm. really good reminder.
Good. Good, I'm glad. Thanks. Anyone else?
Yeah, that is a good reminder.
Yeah, frustrating, like you said, but that is good to remember. Helps us appropriately set our expectations and makes life a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good for now.
Okay, wonderful. Well, have a great weekend, ladies, and definitely text me or call or shoot me an email or, share something in the Facebook group if you have any questions or if something comes up. But otherwise, we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Great. Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Yep. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.